And I'm sure you can feel it as well, Doug Hagman. HagmanPI.com. That's where all of the show notes exist. Today is Tuesday, May 20th, 2025. I want to thank you so much for joining me, and thank you so much for people in chat. God bless every one of you there who add to the intellectual discussion. Really appreciate that. And thanks to the people who are always there. Really appreciate each and every one of you. I had the opportunity yesterday in some downtime. Not really wait time, I suppose, just to go through some of the letters I received. And I was just absolutely amazed at all of that. And I appreciate all of you. You know, there's so much going on. And so much. And I should add this. Thank you so much for your support. I thought we had just a fabulous meeting on Sunday. It's just really great to connect with people. Of course, now today, I should add today, the weather has been very odd throughout the nation, really throughout the world, but, I don't know. I know it's a lot colder today. And it's supposed to rain the entire week where I'm at, and be more like a fall kind of, we're 2 months behind, I think, in weather. The reason I'm bringing this up is the more research I've been doing on things that are taking place, whether it be the initiative by Gates to block the sun, the different frequencies that are out there that no one really wants to talk about because it makes you sound like a loon, right? To direct the weather. I mean, go back to 9/11, how that hurricane that was encroaching on the East Coast appeared to be directed away from 9/11 and revealing such a beautiful day that day. And I think back at various events and how weather impacts current events. And thinking back about weather manipulation, what we know for a fact, the weather manipulation during Vietnam, you know, how the military, the U.S. military had done things to create monsoons and rain and washing out supplies from the North Vietnamese. I'm just saying, this has been around a long time, and it's really been perfected. All right, so there's that. But I don't want to get off on that tangent. A couple of things that we're dealing. Oh, at the top of the hour, Stan Dale. Hopefully, we can get into a lot of things that Stan's been working on. I know he's been pretty busy. It's my understanding. So, okay. I have a couple of things. I want to set the stage really for this hour. And where do you start? Really? It's difficult to start when you are in this realm of events taking place. It's difficult to really say, well, we should start here or we should start there. I want to start with video one. How's that? The reason for the pause. There are people still embedded within our own government. You know this, I know this, we all know this, who are carrying water for the globalist agenda, who are out there intentionally sabotaging the America First agenda. Now, there's a fight, and I know this personally. there is a huge fight going on behind the scenes. That fight involves members of President Trump's family and members, very close members of his inner circle. And again, I don't want to overstate what I know and who I know it from, but I can tell you that my limited but very, very precise and very, very good source within that circle tell me the conversations that, to be very specific, conversations by two different people tell me that there is a battle raging. There is a battle going on, and the battle is multifaceted. You may think, for example, as well as I do, that President Trump had some issues bringing in, or had some issues with vetting people. You know, during his first term, my goodness, how many people really turned out to be anti-America First and anti-President Trump, right? And if you follow others, such as Laura Loomer, a friend of the program, and she's very well plugged into what's going on, you'll see that some of that hasn't changed. Well, there's a fight right now in, with some of the inner folk, some of the picks, selections. People have, I would just say this, as it was described to me, you know, it's one thing. For example, think of it this way. You go apply for a job. You create, your public persona, or what is known about you in the public, seems to be pretty well established. Your talk, you talk very well, for example, and you say the right things to your prospective employer. And then at some moment, you decide, okay, now I'm in that position of influence and power. I'll just stop. I'll stop pretending, essentially, and do what I think my handlers want me to do, or what my ideology drives me to do. Very, very disconcerting. So there's that fight right now. And I'll tell you something. I think over the next 6 months, you're going to see some changes in President Trump's selections in certain areas. Okay. At least two. Hold that. I mean, mark today. And we'll see what happens within 6 months. And then there's a fight against the establishment Republicans, and I have to use that word because we know, I mean, look, we know it's a uniparty, but you would think that the Republicans would be helping with your agenda. Not so. Although today, 100 out of 100 Senate passed no tax on tips. That's a good thing. But there's so much more. That needs to be passed into law to make it difficult to change. And part of that is also the judiciary. Now, which brings me to video one. How is this being handled? Because we see Pam Bondi out there, right? We see Tulsi Gabbard. Now, this is surprisingly Tulsi Gabbard. And I've had ample time, downtime yesterday. Wait a minute. Yeah, yes. I was trying to make sure of my days. Plenty of time to kind of watch and research different issues. Tulsi Gabbard is actually doing a better job than I thought. Remember, she was a Democrat, turned Republican, turned America First, put in the position of head of DNI, the DNI position, Director of National Intelligence. She's doing a good job, as opposed to others in the law enforcement end of things, which is connected, you know, in the process to the judicial branch. Okay, so here's video one. And I suppose this kind of sets the stage for where we're at today. This is only a minute long, a minute 10, actually. And this is Steve Bannon, I believe it was today. And maybe it wasn't. I don't know. I grabbed it. Maybe it was last week. I don't know. I grabbed this 1 minute clip. It doesn't really matter. If it was last week, it's still operative today. If it was today, it's going to be operative next week, next month, and really for the rest of President Trump's tenure. But check this out. And the clip title on this was, you got to get real about taking down the deep state. Pam Bondi, no more bubblegum BS, right? So that's what this is. And I agree with this, because what I see, and tell me if I'm wrong, but we have a boatload of missed opportunity. Before we go to video one, I want to address something, because, you know, when Steve was on and I played that clip from And Justice for All, okay, and I was very, very, very passionate about this. And really looking back, and this is my heart talking right now, I've been very passionate about not the legal system, but about the justice system, about true justice. And how true justice has been so elusive. I'm sure everybody listening and everybody joining this podcast, I'm sure the majority of you have had some sort of experience with what is called the justice system. And whether it's regardless of what your experience, regardless of what brought you to that experience, whether you were, it was a passive thing or an active thing, or whether you were, regardless of the circumstances, the justice or justice period, justice has been taken away from us. And it's by the left, and it's by design. So this is why this particular video really spoke to me. And go ahead, Eric. And by the way, Eric, great to see you again. Glad we're back. You doing okay? We're back. Tuesday, Wednesday. We'll do it live.
Live.
We're doing it live. But Bill O'Reilly, so we'll do it live. We should play that. Yeah. Okay. But this, yeah, and by the way, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week, Friday, we're not going to have a show. And then, of course, next Monday is Memorial Day, which I hope everyone has a chance to spend with their families. But that's because of my schedule. We'll get through it. So anyway, but here's cut one.
It's time to get, are we either real about this or we're not? We're either going to defend. This is not about Trump. This is not about MAGA. This is not about our movement. This is not even about the White House. This is about this republic. We can never allow this to happen again. Why did Trump say he came back and ran? He said that at Charlie Kirk's at AmFest. He said, I ran because I knew they had won 2020 and they had stolen it. And he would go against the gates of hell. But hell, they're going to put him in prison for 300 years. He knew that and bankrupt him. That was his profile and courage to come back. Where is our profile and courage? About making sure this never happens again in this republic. The only way you're going to do it, you're going to have some people here that are behind bars. And put it in a break. This is the tool we need to break the deep state. But we need the toughness and the focus and the relentlessness to do it. This is what's a moment in history. You grab it. If you grab it and you drive it. There'll be so many other revelations that come up about this.
What he said there to me represents the feeling of every person who wants the American agenda first and foremost. Now, because of this particular hour preceding Stan, I was looking at the various headlines, and we can go through the stuff I like to call just eye candy, ear candy, that you'll hear on different platforms, different media outlets. I'd prefer to go deeper than that.
Like Joe Biden has cancer.
Yeah, I mean, okay, yeah, exactly. And I was talking with my personal physician today. I was in his office, and we spent quite a bit of time. Of course, I had the time. Talking about,
you do not have cancer.
No, I don't have cancer. No.
Just sounded like you were going there.
Oh no. I no.
By the way, I was at the doctor.
Well, yeah. I was, but not. I know. At least not that I know of. No one's told me. Do you know something, Eric? Thanks. Do you know something I don't know? Huh? Okay.
I mean, I did hack your medical records, but
of all the things you could hack, you hack that. Yeah. Well, okay. But we were talking about this, and it's interesting because that's really all-consuming, isn't it? I mean, whether it's on The View or CNN or whoever, my goodness, Biden, you know, prostate cancer, going into the bone, metastasizing into the bone, Gleason score 9. Oh, well, they stopped testing for that at age 70. Really, that's a 40 to 70-year-old test. You know, in other words, men at 40 ending at 70. That's okay. If anyone believes that crap, I'll tell you this. The President of the United States gets tested all of the time for a... No. Doesn't pass a smell test. So when I was talking about this, when a doctor is a friend of mine, and we were talking about this at length, and he said, look, in order for it to be there at that level, you're talking about the beginning is at least back 4 or 5 years. And so he knew, as a candidate, or would be reasonably suspicious of some problems in that area as a candidate. But is that the real issue? That's not the issue. Here's the real issue. The real issue is this a diversion from his cognitive decline? But then that's not even the issue, because everyone has seen that. So what is the real issue? Well, the real issue is the auto pen. And again, Doc and I were talking. And he's like really like, he's a smart, a very smart man, very good guy, very up on things. And he was saying, look, what I want to know, and I think we might have, I didn't grab this. is some discussion about who runs the auto or who has been running the auto pen. Folks, how the auto pen works, this is a device that is in the Secretary of Staff's office on the West Wing of the White House. And when you, now this is relatively, I'm going to say relatively new, I mean, 21st century stuff, okay? When Biden or President Trump or whoever takes office, there is a list of names generated by the ostensibly by the president, which I mean, it is not ostensibly. I don't want to put any qualifiers on it, of who has access to the auto pen, to the operation of the auto pen. So Comer in the hearings and others are saying, okay, we need to find out who's on that list. Now, interestingly enough, you're going to hear people saying, well, we need to find out who is operating the auto pen. Well, okay, hold on. It's not like anyone can just walk in that room and you know, operate the auto pen. There's a list of names. So let's start there. And to me, that's the real issue, because once you identify not just the operators of the auto pen, but who, you're going to have to sit them down and you're going to have to talk to each one, interview or interrogate, whatever, and find out, did you use this, when, and what were the circumstances? Simple as that. And if you don't talk, there's a really nice sell for you. And we're talking about, at the end of the day, we're talking about some potentially charges of potential treason, sedition, at the outside. But you would have to be, a staffer would have to, I mean, a staffer just couldn't, even though you're on that list, couldn't go in there and say, well, you know what, I think this looks good, so we'll have Biden sign off on it. Now, in theory, of course, I don't know, because I have not done any investigation. Why would I? I couldn't. But you know who does, right? The FBI and others. Just saying. So that's the story. I mean, this feels sorry for Biden because of, you know, metastasized prostate cancer. Yeah, I mean, I'm empathetic as a human being, but do I really? How empathetic can you be to an individual who was the face of a dark, deep, evil regime? Just saying. Okay. So that's the story. So you're right, Eric. I mean, we could talk about stuff like that. Doesn't really, I mean, it's just, you can find this out on your own. I want to go places others are not. And you know what? Before I get to this next video, I just want to show you something. Eric the Tech, I didn't send this in the show prep material. Folks, you're not going to find it on show notes, but if you can put up my X feed. And by the way, man, every time I post something about this, it doesn't go anywhere. It just sits there. And I posted something. There's a video, I think there's a video. Yeah, Eric, take me and put up my, I think it's, I don't know. Post I had about Butler, because there's something very wrong here. And this Butler is brought to you by the very same people or the very same line of authority as JFK, as RFK, MLK, Don't forget about Ronald Reagan too, outside the DC Hilton. It's also brought to you by other members of the deep state. But what I said appeared to really anger some people based on non-public reaction. And if you can open that link, because out of context, or what I'm talking about really is not going to show there. If you can open that link to the Gateway Pundit, because this really, or I believe there's a, I think embedded in the Gateway Pundit is a video. And Dan Bongino is talking about Butler. And I have a saying, I've always had a saying, okay, Trump's former spokesperson, Liz Harrington, slams Bongino, who is now the deputy director of the FBI, for downplaying Trump-Butler assassination plot. Believe me, there is a lot, folks, there's a lot going on behind the scenes on this. And there's a lot being hidden. I don't have the answer. Oh, goodness. I don't have the answer to, I draw my pen. I don't have the answer to why this is taking place. I really don't. There's a video, if you scroll down a little bit, I believe the origin of this, there we go. If you play that, my comment will make a whole lot more sense. And this does lead into this hidden globalist, these hidden globalist operatives inside the Trump administration. Now, I'm not accusing Bongino of anything like that. Okay. But there are others in there as well. Because there's one other video, hold that there, but there's one other video that I found it very interesting that relates to this. President Trump posted on Truth Social. Did you see this, folks? The Clinton body count. I want to play that after this, but that to me is an oblique reference to stuff that's going on that impacts him himself. But if you don't mind, Eric, go ahead and play this video here with Maria Bartiromo. And it's pretty interesting and it's self-explanatory. Go ahead and hit that when you're ready.
But how come we don't have more information on the assassination attempts on President Trump?
There's two reasons. To open ongoing prosecutions. So two of the investigations are obviously closed because the individuals are dead. But there's two live prosecutions. And so we can't get ahead of the federal court case. A lot of that information will come out in the federal court cases, but we have personally invested our time in making sure that we have looked at any possible international connections to terrorism and adversaries alike. And we've both been down to Quantico. We've both done the laboratory testing. We've both seen the explosives analysis. We've both seen the firearm and physically held it. We are all in on these investigations.
Are we going to be surprised at what you learned?
You know what, Maria? Cash is not kidding. We've been personally briefed extensively on every single detail, nugget, tendril of this case. One is actively in court right now. So out of respect for the case, it's probably more appropriate that I stay quiet on that. However, I'm not going to tell people what they want to hear. I'm going to tell you the truth. And whether you like it or not is up to you. If there was a big explosive there, right? Given my history as a Secret Service agent and my personal friendship as a director does with the president, give me one logical, sensible reason we would not have. If you can think of one, there isn't. There isn't. There in some of these cases, the there you're looking for is not there. And I know people, I get it. I understand. It's not there. If it was there, we would have told you.
Well, the other issue that's been talked about recently is this mortgage.
Okay, now I've got some things to say about that. The court cases aside, that
first off,
yeah,
who's briefing them?
That's okay. There it is. Because, in fact, if you don't mind, put that, if you have it handy, put that my response to that back up. On that expo says, I don't know. I can say this. I know where our investigative reports, plural, many, many, many pages. I know where they ended up. I don't know. That's all I'll say. I don't know what Dan Bongino or Kash Patel know. Okay, so let's take a look at this, because Eric, what you said was absolutely slam dunk on the money. And I'll say this, look, I'm not really that great of a talk show host. There are only a few things I consider myself to be pretty good at. And I consider myself a pretty good investigator. Now, having said that, I've seen investigations during my career, both civil and criminal, and especially on the civil side. And the criminal side, yeah, derailed by information given to investigators by supposedly vetted and informed sources. So if Dan Bongino, for example, or Kash Patel or whatever, look, they went to the FBI or down at Quantico, examined the weapon. I suspect they're talking about the Butler weapon and the explosives. I do suspect they're talking about the Butler explosives. Do I know that for sure?
If you held the weapon.
There you go. Thank you.
How many Paddock's weapons were held without a broken window over the police radios?
Wow. Yeah, you're right. And look, this is so important, because you're not going to find what you're not looking for. And there was a time, I'll just mention this too as an aside, back in the, well, up through, I should say, maybe early 80s. Did you know that the deputy director of the FBI, as well as the agents in charge of the field offices, more appropriately, the agents in charge of the FBI field offices. And if any FBI agent is listening to this, you can, or retired or active or whatever, you can call me out if I'm wrong on this, but I'm not wrong. The directors of the field offices would actually kick out the agents and say, you're not going to get on the streets. Go. You don't sit behind the desk. Don't sit here. You belong on the streets. Well, what do I do? I mean, what do we do? What you're supposed to do. And that is, you know, you investigate things, you look at things, okay, but today, and back then too, things were different. They had a dress code. It was, the hair had to be exact, your hair exact, facial hair, no. You know, you didn't show up to the office in chinos and what have you. No. It was suit with an appropriate suit. And you get the idea, right? For whatever you might think of that, there was discipline. But again, let me go back to this, because Eric the Tech made just a tremendous point. Who cares what you did? I could hold a weapon. I could look at the, yeah, it's okay. Yeah, well, yeah, that's, it doesn't matter. You will not find your answers at Quantico, just as you won't find your answers sitting behind a desk or being briefed by someone who you may or may not know, but you certainly cannot verify the depth of their knowledge or even where that is coming from. So you better, if an investigation of this caliber, you better hand select those people who you listen to and those people who are agents, law enforcement, who have gone out there and gotten down in the dirt and dug and dug and dug and made themselves, conducted the interviews. Because I can tell you right now, we, as a non-commissioned law enforcement, we are credentialed but not commissioned law enforcement, so we don't have subpoena warrant power, but we do have the credentials and the experience. We can provide
to be sneaky.
Look, especially Eric the Tech. Like, my goodness, he's a chameleon. It's amazing. Where,
by the way, I held Lee Harvey Oswald's rifle. That means he did it.
There you go. The case closed, right? You're convinced now. Now, which one? Was that the Carcano rifle or was that... never mind. Yeah. So, but we can provide, and to my satisfaction, we provide prima facie evidence, or evidence to make a prima facie case, or elements of evidence or proof, or I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. We've provided elements of proof or evidence sufficient to make a prima facie case for a conspiracy charge alone, which can be thoroughly vetted on the electronic devices and explosives. And I'm talking about the explosives in the trunk of Crix's vehicle, or the vehicle that was associated with Crix, as well as the electronics. So I said, respectively, Mr. Bongino, do not rely on briefings. Conduct your own investigation. Answers will not be found sitting behind a desk or giving interviews. Personal protection details, which he was great at, that's a different skill set. I mean, it's a different skill set. Now, again, very respectful. I'm just saying. It would be like me during my career as an investigator working security efficiently. Interestingly enough, they're under one license in many states. However, different skill sets, different disciplines. So, my question is, on one of the most critical cases that you would ever handle, once you unravel this, you get to certain people and the picture becomes clearer about the attempted overthrow or the attempted continue coup of America. That's how deep this goes. And James O'Keefe says, you know, things like this story really, you know, this really scares the hell out of me. I'm going to tell you what, Butler and everything associated with it scares the daylights out of me. I'm telling you right now where this leads. You pull on that thread and you follow the different steps. You throw the geofencing and GPS analysis of the various electronic devices. And, you know, look, we were at the shooting range. We were everywhere. We took, again, 100 plus interviews, or maybe just south of 100. I don't know, off the top of my head, but a lot. You learn things. You don't learn things by looking at the evidence already collected. And most assuredly, you don't learn things by looking at the evidence you're told to look at. I've never seen a crime scene, by the way, released in record time. I've never seen a body that kind of was lost and then found and then cremated. Oh, yeah. Where's the body? When it's in the morgue. No. Seriously, how's a coroner, how's a county coroner lose a body? When I say lose it, lose track of, especially that one. So the bottom line here, you get the idea, right? All right, so let me back this up and go back to what I was referring to, because I look, this is a look, this is the absolute cornerstone, I believe, of exposing, or this is the hot button, third rail, whatever, of exposing the people behind the coup. And the coup attempts are still taking place. I will add this. The news comes at you fast and hard. Just after the first, around the first of the year, there were at least two verified and vetted intelligence sources that confirmed surface-to-air missiles, man pads, came through a California.
Gotta love a good man pad.
Good man pad. Not that kind of architect, although I do appreciate my own man pad. But surface air missiles. Two sources confirmed that they made it into the United States. And actually were handed off to operatives. Who were these operatives? We don't know. I don't know. Or at least no one told me. There are mixed reports. Were they ever captured or grabbed? No. No. We don't know. Where are they? We don't know. Which is why, if you recall during the campaign, this is January 1st of 2024, over that period of time. When the campaign was in its infancy, and then the verification of the man pads being in the U.S. and being sought, which would explain why President Trump, to the sometimes upset of some of his aides, but most assuredly some of the people in the media, hey, where's President Trump? On Air Force One, and they're looking around, and he ain't there. Air Force One's in the air going to whatever destination, but President Trump's on a charter plane. This became especially important after July 13th, which for reasons I'm not going to get into, but I'm just telling you, because and it's part of that criminal network that exists to this day. So I said all of that because President Trump has been really, he understands that there are some problems here inside our own government, obviously. But there are some influences, some criminality that still exists that has not been addressed. So on Truth Social, I find it very interesting. And Eric the Tech, I don't know whether you saw this or not, but I found it very interesting that President Trump would post a video about the Clinton body count. And why? That's my question all the time, is why? Why would he do that? It's just a troll. I mean, he's a great troll. He loves to troll. But not like this. There's something going, there's something not, I mean, there's something here that connects that to what's going on that maybe we can't see. This is cut three. It's a minute 55. Check this out. And certainly pay attention to, because he, I should add, he could have selected many others. There are so many videos about this, so many postings about this, but this is the one he selected. So you got to look at this and say, why this one? You tell me, folks, what you think. Here's cut three.
John F. Kennedy Jr., he was declared the front runner for the New York Senate seat back in 1999. Days later, his plane crashed into the Atlantic Ocean, and his rival, Hillary Clinton, was elected senator. Mary Mahoney was a Clinton White House intern. She knew enough of the inner workings of Bill's sexual advancements to be a star witness during the Clinton impeachment trials. She was brutally executed at a Starbucks she was managing in 1997. In 1993, White House counsel Vince Foster was found dead in Fort Marcy Park near D.C. He supposedly killed himself, and among a lengthy list of potential foul play, the bullet was never found. Then there's James McDougal, a key witness for White House prosecutors. He was serving his three-year sentence for bank fraud at the Fort Worth Federal Medical Center in Texas. And just before he was to give a testimony before the grand jury, McDougal suffered a heart attack in solitary confinement. In 2015, Walter Scheib, a White House chef hired under Bill Clinton, joined the list. His body was found at the bottom of a river, nearly 2 miles from the base of the trail he was reportedly hiking. An autopsy determined that Scheib's death was accidental drowning, but he might have known too much. 27-year-old Democratic National Committee staffer Seth Rich was shot and killed in D.C. this year. There is speculation that he was the source of the controversial leaked emails allegedly sent by DNC staffers, and that he may have been murdered in retaliation. Then Sean Lucas, the lead attorney in a fraud case against the DNC, was found lying on the bathroom floor by his girlfriend when she returned home on August 2nd. His death was reported classified, pending the results of an autopsy.
So, there's that video. Eric the Tech, anything jump out at you at all on that? Contrasting that to other similar videos, why did President Trump, do you think, post that one out of all the other videos that he could have posted? And why post at all about this? Any thoughts?
You tell me.
Well, I think, look, obviously the key figure here is Hillary Clinton, but the Clintons both, okay. I'm not sure I processed that enough to provide an answer on that. I mean, I'm being flat out truthful. But I'm looking. I'm looking, and I'm trying to analyze why this one. Because it goes back to, obviously, Vince Foster. But interestingly enough, James McDougal, you know, dying of a heart attack. Well, the day before he was going to testify. And all of these things, all of these deaths that benefit at least Hillary Clinton, if not the machinery of the DNC. I found the focus about the DNC kind of interesting. Now, you have to separate Vince Foster, of course, from that. With respect to the DNC, that was more of a, that was different. But Seth Rich, where it pretty much ended, indicts the body of the DNC. And if you have been listening to President Trump talking about the Democrats, the DNC, and making that an synonymous with the deep state or part of the deep state, that's kind of why I'm thinking, well, that clip really kind of is indicting not just Hillary Clinton, or is suggestive of some bad stuff with respect to Hillary Clinton, but suggestive of the wider rot within the DNC, okay, as an organization, and then the larger part about the deep state. Again, this is something I don't have an answer to, and I'm willing to listen to others, other people's analysis. Or was it just handy at the moment? But I don't think so. Because when you go to that level, just think about that. But I stand by my statement, too. With respect to Dan Bongino, Cash Patel, Pam Bondi. But more specifically, the people they task. Because you're not going to see Bongino or Cash Patel out in the field working an investigation. That's not their job. Their job is to select very trusted, very capable, very experienced people to go out and do the job to their standards. But when you have a ready-made mix of investigators from the FBI left over from the Biden regime, the content, and this is something that we, I'll just share this. This is something that when we put together, or when I called in investigators, I knew every single one of them personally and professionally. I knew exactly what their capabilities were. I knew 100% what they were good at. I knew 100% of their desire to be truthful, honest, and get to the bottom of things. I knew that I could pick up the phone and ask something of them, and they would drop everything and do it. I knew that the end product of the investigation would be without compromise. And by the time I got it, it would be 100% verifiable. They would have the answer, but they could show the work of how they arrived at that. And I too went with them. I was down in the dirt with them as well. And Eric the Tech was part of this, a big part of this. All Dan Bongino would have to do is contact a certain person or others within that organization of, I won't say who, but he has the ability to find out the things that we found out. I'll leave it there for now. There will be a day then that I'm just going to, if they don't put out the information, I will, for my own reasons. Now, to end this segment, I just want to start with this video. I'd like everyone to really watch this video. This is cut two. And this is what we've been talking about, really, this segment. It's the hidden globalist operatives inside President Trump's administration. Look, Laura Logan is, to me, one of the primo investigative journalists out there. I do know her husband. I know what that, look, I know. if you say, well, you know, her husband's CIA. Look, I get it. But there's nothing Laura Logan has told me that I would question or have questioned in terms of the authenticity and the accuracy. So in the interest of time, if you don't mind, Eric, let's go with cut two. It's a 13-minute video, long clip with Alex Jones. But listen to what she's got to say. Go ahead.
This may seem an extreme example, Alex, but I'm going to tell you what it feels like for me. When I was in the square on assignment for 60 Minutes in Egypt, and I had been gang raped and sodomized and beaten over and over and over, and I was almost dying, there was a point at which I was dragged by the mob into a group of Egyptian women and children. And their sons and, you know, and relatives, the males, they jumped up and they formed a barrier between me and the mob. When that happened, I felt the air on my skin. I managed after a while to get air back into my lungs. That's what the election of Trump was like. Okay. We were dying under Joe Biden, literally dying with what they were doing to this country, the invasion at the border and everything else, turning human beings into weapon systems and all the policies and the destruction of this country that was underway. But the most terrifying thing was that mob, all they had to do was reach. It was only about a foot between me and the mob. And I couldn't bear the thought of going back. I had accepted that I was going to die and my death was going to be filthy and disgusting and worthless. But when I had that moment, I could breathe again. I had a chance at life. And that's where we are right now. The problem is that mob can just reach in and drag us right back. The deep state has doubled down. They have not gone away. They have not accepted defeat. They have doubled down. And guess who their strongest allies are? The Rhino establishment.
Okay, you can cut that.
So
folks, you can start to get, you can start to feel where she's going. And she gets deeper into that as well as Alex. But I would encourage everyone, if you haven't seen that, watch that. There's also one more video, which we're not going to play. I don't have it in my show notes. It was an interview between Tucker Carlson and Sean Ryan. And the topics ranged. Oh, my goodness. They were just ranged everywhere. But that's another one. If you can find that, just it's probably available. I know it's available on Sean Ryan's social media feed, Tucker Carlson, I believe, as well. But that also adds to the explanation of where we're at. And when Laura Logan says the deep state's doubling down, please believe that. We can feel it. All right. And we are feeling it. Believe me when I say that we're feeling it, because stuff about the issues about July 13th Butler attempted assassination, there's stuff that they don't want out. The criminal network is still operational, and they're still trying to take President Trump out, as we saw with Comey. So, and that whole Comey thing with 8647. Believe me, if you don't believe that, I mean, if you believe that, you know, somehow he just thought it was whatever his lame excuse was, it's inexcusable. But we'll stop there. Stan Dale's with me. StanDale.com. That's where to go. Stan Dale's got like a ton of information about all man. Just go to StanDale.com and soak up the information that he's got there. Make sure you listen to the archived and coming up the interviews, because he is full of information about current events, especially in the realm of earth and weather and space and sun changes, and how, you know, it's really connected to biblical prophecy. And equally well, the biblical prophecy would trump, pardon the pun, deep state stuff, but it also is connected to the deep state. So standale.com. The link will be in the program description box at hagmanpi.com. Stan, welcome.
Earlier in the show,
yes,
we were talking about the weird weather.
Yes, we were.
Everybody in the chat, especially at the beginning, like last month, it's been weird weather in the chat.
Yeah. And thank you, Eric, for reminding me about that. Yeah. Hi, Stan. Well, first of all, hi. How you doing? And it's good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you, too. I guess we both had a little bit under the weather here and there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But we're still, I'm still stuck in there. How are you, though? I mean, share what you want, but you feeling?
Well, a week ago, I couldn't walk. I couldn't move. I was in such pain just all of a sudden. Every joint, hip joints, shoulders, everything. I could not get up off the floor. I was just sitting in the living room, and it hit me like that. And Holly took me to the hospital emergency room, and they did a bunch of test scans and all that kind of stuff. And from their determination, apparently what had happened is I have a UTI infection that somehow has escaped a bit and gone through my body. And I have never been so weak in my life. I lay there on the floor, and I could not, for 20 minutes, I could not roll over, push up, do anything. My muscles were weak, gone, and painful joints everywhere. And so I'm reminded, I kind of laughed at the time, because I remember that TV commercial, that woman that says, "Help, I've fallen and I can't get up." And I was, oh, no, you got to be kidding. But it does happen, and they dosed me up with a bunch of antibiotics that I'm still taking at the moment. But within 48 hours, I was up and walking again and not having to use a cane or anything. So I don't know what it was other than that infection. It's just the darndest thing that I've ever seen. I guess we're going to do something that they don't want us to do, the evil ones.
That's right. And, you know, I believe that we this is a spiritual battle manifesting in the physical. And, you know, I believe that those people who are attempting to expose the wiles of the evil are targets of the very people, that the very entities, I should say, that we're targeting. I mean, it's just, so I don't discount the aspect of the spiritual warfare manifesting with stuff like you had. I mean,
well, let me say that during that time, I told a couple of my friends that got prayer groups, and they really got to business on it and prayed for me during that time. And I'm sure that helped the situation and the healing. Amazing difference between last week and now. You wouldn't believe I'm the same person. I thought I was on the way out. It was terrible.
Man, I'll tell you what. And did you have any like warning going up to that, or was that like
I'd been watching TV with Holly, and she left the room to do something else, and I went to get up and fell over. It's that quick. I didn't have any hint of the pains until I moved, and it hit trunk muscles, leg muscles, everything. Everything didn't work and hurt. But praise the Lord, the prayers worked, the antibiotics may have worked, and certainly when I was in the hospital, the morphine worked. That's a delightful stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
I said, can you just package that? I'll take some to go.
Really?
Yeah.
It's amazing how quick they say, no.
Yeah, no. They're like that. It's good now, and I'm looking at a lot of things in the weather, the sun, and politics, and there's a bunch of crap going on. Let me dive back into the weather changes. You know, you've seen all these tornadoes running across the United States, and this is a sign of solar energy pumping into our atmosphere, into our electric field. It does this, all the time, but this particular time, the solar energy is very weird. It's kind of the worst it's ever been. It's unstable. It's opening up what they call coronal holes. And let's see, the coronal hole. I'll find a picture of it in a minute. But I can share a screen here. I can show you something here. Which one of these has the Yeah, well, maybe that one there. Now, yeah. Okay. No, all right. I'll find it in a second here. Let me just put the share button on here and share Photoshop. Yeah.
Okay. Coronal holes. Well, I just let you go ahead and go. There we go.
Well, go ahead. What's your question about coronal
holes? My question would not be structured sensibly. So go ahead and narrate this.
All right. Just a second here. I want to get a picture for coronal hole here to put it in that thing there. I'm showing you. I've got to go over to the Solar Dynamics Observatory and pull up. I think this is the best one here. Yep. Okay. I'll take that one down and put it into Photoshop so we can see it. Coming now. Okay.
Wow.
Okay. This is right now today.
Wow.
And you know, you think, oh, well, it's not white light or any light color today, so it's not very powerful. Wrong. This area here where all this black is full of what they call Ellerman, E-L-L-E-R-M-A, and it's Ellerman bombs. They are explosions inside the sun here between reconnecting magnetic fields, and they're like pinpoints. That little area right there is an Ellerman bomb, and they line this whole hole in the sun. Now, these bombs, they're like, there can be billions of them, right, that occur over a short period of time here. And each one of them is like 100 hydrogen bombs going off. And they're not like a flare. They just put up this radiation bang into the solar wind. And it hits our satellite, its communication, it power structures, grids. And this is something to watch even over things like these brilliant flares over here on the side coming our way. Anyway, it's a thing to watch. And here's a close-up of one of them where we had two holes together. And these circled areas, these little pinpoints of light, are Ellerman bombs in relation to the size of the Earth there. Now, recently here, at the end of March, early April, and there we were having a lot of flares coming off the sun, and this one here is a particularly active and impressive set of flares. You can see one, two, maybe three all combined together, but this is just an example of the extreme activity we're seeing on the sun. Okay, there's that one there. Let's quit out of that for a second here and come back to talking face to nose here. Okay, there we are. Now, that is, of course, the solar activity I'm talking about, but there's something else that you can't see. It's the magnetic fields. You know, the North and South Pole of the Sun? Every about 11.5 to 11.9 years, we have a solar cycle where, the North and South Pole of the Sun flip. But they don't flip in a day or an hour. They flip over a 2 or 3 month period. One pole starts to say, oh, I'm going to slip out of here and go down, toward the bottom. And the other one says, oh, yeah, okay. And then maybe a year later, the other one says, well, I'll go up to where you were then. And they don't go straight up and down. They go cattywampus. It's pretty impressive. Let's see if we can go over here. That's what we want to see here. I'm going to share the magnetic fields on the sun today. And this is quite interesting. What we're looking at, we're looking straight at the sun, right? Earlier this morning when they took this magnetogram. And this is for May 20th for those that are listening. Now, I'm going to just roll this down. I got my arrow on what would be the North Pole normally. And as I roll it down, you see the bald spot up there? There's only a part of this purple pole, whatever it is, that's even near the North Pole. So if we go upside down now to the South Pole and see what's happening, South Pole is SOL. There's nothing there. And so let's go back and look them right straight in the eye. What we're seeing here is complete chaos inside the sun as these two poles are drifting back and forth. Now, I'm just going to position this just so, and you can see that the purple pole, whatever it is down close to the other pole, and they're tugging across the surface of the sun. Now, the tug you can see are these white lines showing the fields between both the north and south pole, wherever they are. And so where you see those white lines, that's the action in between these poles that are misplaced. This is not a stable situation. It is not normal. And so, you know, you're hearing it here, and you're going to hear more as time passes.
Now, if I can ask this, how does that impact Earth, our home planet here? If at all, does this impact weather, the communications, and so on?
There are a number of problems facing us right now. The Earth's magnetic field periodically reduces to zero and then builds back up again. The North and South Pole just go to zero or neutralize each other. And we're rapidly approaching that zero point now. We have been for the last 5 years, so much so that in Florida they had to remark the magnetic bearings of one of the airfields there because magnetic north had drifted so far. Now, inside the Earth, we have at least two, maybe three, pairs of north and south poles floating around and fighting for dominance. Now, when these poles, the magnetic field is weakened, we're going to be exposed to a lot of deep space, radiation, gamma radiation, all sorts of radiation. Where normally, when the sun is active and making, a heavy solar wind, it shields us from the deep space radiation penetration. But the coronal mass ejections and stuff aren't as reliable at the moment. They're periodically bursting and then quietening. And right now, we are getting some protection from these solar flares that are fixing to approach from the west there in that drawing or image we had. But because the Earth is exposed now, because of the weakening magnetic field, it's the UV, A, B, and C frequencies are penetrating deeper than they normally would, like as if we had an ozone hole to let them through. And I've been in one of those where the UV came through the ozone hole over in Perth, and during the daytime, it hurt. I mean, it was like pinpricks all over your body, even through your clothing. And there were public announcements made to the wives, don't hang out your whitewashing without sunglasses and cover on your arms and stuff. Well, now we're going to see this more. It's affecting the trees, the green vegetation. And I think it's going to continue during the approach to the high point of this solar sunspot cycle. Now, during the approach and the exit from this, about the middle of that 11-year cycle, you're going to see quite a bit of solar activity of all kinds. Now, after we hit the peak and then start down the other side to where we're supposedly having less sunspots, you would expect that things would slow down. The prediction that was made 6 years ago by NASA and NOAA about when this solar sunspot cycle would peak, they said, okay, it'll peak about about 2025-26, and it will follow a curve of this many sunspots down here and go up a bit down there. And they were wrong by 80%. We've already seen that double what they forecast. And these are the great minds and instruments we have. So our sunspot activity this time is double what they forecast. And there's no telling what's going to happen between now, the midpoint, and then approaching the downside of it.
Wow.
If you try to tie biblical prophecies to these times and say, like in the Revelation, that we are in the seven-year period of tribulation or approaching it, in the Revelation of John, it does mention, as does the Old Testament, there's going to be a problem with the sun. One of them is going to be that the sun will burst a bright amount of light, seven times brighter than normal, and that the side of the earth facing that explosion of light will burn. The green grass trees will be killed. People that are not in caves in hiding will be burned. The fish will boil in the seas and lakes. And that side of the earth, which is about 50% is this side, so about 80% of that's going to have direct radiation from that burst. Now, in the Old Testament, it says also that there will be a cloud rise up around the sun. And of course, we know that when that happens, we're having a coronal, or like a flare, or what do you call it, a nova. But it's not a supernova. It's a minor form of a nova where it throws off a shell of dust particles that go out through the solar system. And of course, as they do, they are hampering our light, you know, from the sun. It's going to dim from the stars. It's going to dim from the moon to look blood red as it's dimmed by this dust cloud passing through us. Now, I've shown it on your show many times in the past, what the European Space Agency recorded of the star doing this very thing in nearby Monoceros cluster. And it took about 9 months for that cloud to come off of that star and go out through its planetary system and get out of the way. Now, one half of the planet is not exactly, it'll be about maybe one third to a little bit more, will be burned in that burst of light, which will be quick. We're talking minutes at the most. And then it will be out, and the dust cloud will follow, and the particles will hit us, and that kind of stuff. In addition to this, we're going to have a problem with some kind of an asteroid hitting the Earth, you know, like wormwood that falls into the oceans and turns them bitter or whatever. All these things need to happen when the sun is very active. And that's during the peak sunspot cycle, which is what we're looking at now. If it doesn't happen now and the next probably 4 years, 5 years, then it's going to delay for another 11 and a half years before we get to that point again. So to have this activity in the sun that's potentially able to fulfill prophecy, it's got to happen in the next 4 or 5 years.
That's based on the 11-year cycle of the sun, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, wow. Sir, indeedy. Yeah.
Well, that would kind of
ruin your day. Most definitely. And, you know, the French did a study back in the 70s about sunspot activity, flares, excessive sunspots, you know, and the effect it had on the human population there in France. And they found that at these high sunspot peaks, that divorces were more frequent, you know, and that civil disorder crimes went up, because it affected the human, you know, nervous system or whatever. Now we're seeing things other than that. Of course, we know that the world is at a powder keg at the moment. The Balkan powder keg is over in the Middle East with Iran. These things affect our weather directly, the magnetic field and the electrons that flow into our storm systems. If you follow the storm systems, they're following the path of what's called the telluric earth fields, earth electric fields that move around the planet periodically from equators to the poles and things like that. We're seeing these tornadoes. We're going to see more violent electrical storms as this dump of energy comes through our shield, since our magnetic field is weakening. And the magnetic field of the sun is, you know, hugely greater than ours. And when it's in turbulence and conflict, like it is, as I just showed you, it doesn't have a north or south pole where it should be. When that's happening, it's shaking up our magnetic field, which directly affects the electron flows in the surface of the Earth, hence the flow of the movement of the storm clouds. I think we're going to see a very hot summer and a very storm-filled world, not only us, but other countries.
Interesting. You say hot summer, and here we are where I live in Northwest Pennsylvania. It's cold for this time of year. It's 50 something, getting down to the 40s at night. It's not seasonal. It's not like it should be.
You're going to see very hot short periods for a week or so. Cool. It's going to be oscillating like that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Wait for it. Now, in a week or two from now, you're going to be hot.
Yeah. Well, I think we had a day or two. It was like warmer than it should have been. And then all of a sudden, yeah, bang, it's cooler than it should have been. So what you're saying is absolutely right. Can verify. Yep.
Yeah. Wow. It's, yeah. Yeah. Okay. These things, I do think they affect our human behavior. And like we're on the verge of wars in the Middle East and civil war here. In fact, these crazy devils that you see doing things against the government, attacking government agents over there at the ICE facility, people are being stirred up by not only the weather, you know, and the strangeness of it, but by the Communist Party in this country.
Sure.
When people look at events in Washington or elsewhere in the United States that don't make sense, I say to them, it only makes sense if you realize that we're in a war. Communists are infiltrating us and trying to overthrow the government. All these crazy things that seem counterproductive to surviving America is because someone's trying to take us down. It only makes sense that way. You know, there's just no other way to explain, you know, how they want to kill the country with a massive immigration of people that are going to take us down or kill our economy. You know, all these crazy decisions are a result of communist influence and action behind the scenes. There's no question about it. I've seen it, you know, we saw it in the Russian Revolution. We've seen it in Cuba. We've seen it in other places. It's following the playbook of a communist overthrow. We have to wake up to that fact. And I'm afraid we're going to see some needs to change or override certain things in the Constitution to even try to protect our government at the moment.
100% in agreement with you on that. And I think that communist ideology is so, I guess that would be the political face of the demonic in the spiritual, you know, obviously Breitbart, Andrew Breitbart said politics is downstream from culture, and culture, I would argue that culture is a reflection of, culture is downstream from our spirituality. It's to me. Okay. So, all of this is both demonic, but it demonstrates as this communist ideology that so many people either wittingly or unwittingly embrace. But you got to be a real moron not to understand or to embrace it without understanding the back ideology behind it. But go ahead, sir. Continue.
Well, yeah, I mean, it just when you put it into perspective, I mean, Holly and I for months, years during the Biden administration, probably before that, but they accelerated in the Biden administration. You know, you find yourself clenching your teeth when you see the actions of the left, which are just nonsensical, and they're trying to, you know, make it like it's real and it should be done. But when you look on the surface of it and say, this is madness. It is madness only if you realize that we're under attack. And at a high level, it has not been made clear to the public that we are at war and that these terrorists in the country are going to be striking us soon, taking down various services, and, you know, power and transport and food transport. They're going to be probably poisoning some of our food, the food chain. They're going to do everything they can to bring down the order we have now. And this is meaning that the government in power now, the Trump administration, they have the right idea about bringing an order back. But the problem is the bridge between where we are and where we should be that they're trying to get to is a very shaky one. We're fighting people that are dedicated to using armed force to take us down, to stop our police, to, you know, overthrow our government. And this is going to force the issuance of martial law, I'm sure, at some point in time. And I'm sure that Trump and his administration don't want to do that, but they're going to be boxed into a corner. You know, the insanity prevails on the left. They're doing things that are obviously illegal, and they're getting away with it. And at a certain point, Trump administration is going to say, that far, no further. And General Bondi is going to do her bit, and ICE is going to do their bit, and Tom Homan is going to do his bit. And this is going to result in armed conflict within the country. Now, what bothers me about our situation now is that everything we're doing to make you know, the Golden Dome to, you know, reinforce our military with, you know, arms and weapons and all the budget processes, you know, to make America great again. The enemy, the Chinese, the Russians, and the Iranians, they're all watching us. And so are the number of 40 Arab nations are all watching us. It's in the news. It's not secret. We can't do these things privately. And so they're seeing what we're doing, and that gives them the opportunity to figure out ways to counter what we're doing. And it also shows our weakness at this point in time. And if we're weak enough in this changeover where we're trying to go where we should be, it's a perfect time for China and Russia to attack us. It's a perfect time. You know yourself. I mean, yep. A house divided like this and so destructed, we cannot defend ourselves properly. And the enemy know this. And so what President Trump is doing has been trying to garner support from the Arabian nations in the Middle East over, and he's getting it. But I don't think it's coming quick enough. I really don't know that we'll be able to see his four-year term finish this time before chaos hits us, before we're attacked. Just a guess. I mean, you know, no secret knowledge or anything, but as a tactician, I look at the chessboard and I say, we're in a bad way. And not only are we in a bad way, but our enemy knows it. How do you keep it out of the news and do it? You see what I'm saying? Because it's so public. And if our side doesn't say it, the other side is going to come out with fake news and accent it. They're dedicated to the overthrow of the United States government. They are enemies. And to deal with them will be tough, and it will hurt. And Trump was right when he said, but as he started this term, he said, we're going to go and do these things, I promise. He said, it's going to be painful in the beginning. You're going to have a little bit of hurt to get to where we, you know, the promised land. And that little bit of hurt, I hope we get through it intact. But even the Hopi prophecy keepers have told us, you know, years ago, you're going to have a civil war in the United States. It's going to tear it apart. And your enemies, China and Russia and a Middle Eastern nation, will come in on the coast. They will occupy cities. They will use nuclear weapons. And they will be here for a short period of time. Then they will leave the country and go away, probably because they've ruined everything that will be of any value. But we're at that point where that Hopi prophecy is possibly a reality.
If I can, along those lines, are you looking at the division being racial, being or in some other line of differences? I'm just trying to get a handle on.
Okay, the Hopis say it this way.
Okay,
you're going to have a multifaceted revolution or civil war. You're going to have religious wars. You're going to have economic poverty type wars. You're going to have race wars. All these factors are going to be pulling on the population in the civil war, so that your enemy is your next door neighbor no matter what. I mean, it's going to be a multifaceted civil war. You can't just blame it on race war or, you know, illegals in the country. It's going to be economic. People are going to be hungry and wanting to feed their families. So they're going to revolt to try to get, income to the families. And religious differences, well, already we have anti-Semitism in this country just going through the roof. Okay? And then you're going to have Catholics against Protestants. That old story is going to surface again. The influence of Islam and Sharia law in this country is frightening. They are not really a religion. They are a business. They are, you know, an entity that is not really a religion of faith in God. They may say they are, but when they go in and kill anyone that doesn't, you know, adhere to the faith, to me that is a war machine, and we need to get them out. We cannot have Sharia law. That is not our way. And so that's going to be a major component of the civil war.
And the assets are already here. You know, whether you're looking at Chinese Communist Party operatives, Islamic or Muslim Brotherhood, the fronts for Al Qaeda and different groups like that. I realize, folks, the genesis of such groups can be traced back to the intelligence agencies and communities of the Five Eyes, and in particular Western. I get all that. But the end result is what Stan's talking about. And by the way, Standeo, standeo.com is where you go. And folks, support Stan. You can support him, support his work. He does marvelous work. And make sure you get a copy of Dare to Prepare, The Cosmic Conspiracy, all of his intellectual products that he has. You'll be better off for it. Is again, support standeo.com. And I'm so glad he's with us tonight. And folks, keep praying for his health. My goodness, he's been through a lot. And we need to keep him around because we have to decode and decipher, or have him do it, what is actually taking place. And he does a great job. So go ahead, Sam.
Okay, there are the three main books that we point people to for right now. Certainly, the latest one by Holly, The Prophetic Perils, End Time Events Reveal, is going to be addressing, or does address, the lineup of nations in the Middle East for two wars that are about to happen, one after the other. Psalm, was it 83 war, and then the Gog-Magog war. And anyway, to prepare for these things, she has let's see here. Yeah, can you see my cursor there at all? I don't know. On the left, anyway, Dare to Prepare, which has 69 chapters of all kinds of preparations for all kinds of events, and a lot food, water, that kind of stuff. But even a revived FEMA paper on how to prepare your home to survive a nuclear attack if you're outside in the main blast area. Some very important things about radiation in that. And of course, Standeo, that's me, The Cosmic Conspiracy. That was 1978, and then 2010, the last edition. These three books are essential reading for what is happening now to prepare yourself to do the best you can to survive what's coming, including like the Civil War type things and the loss of food and water and, you know, viruses. Look, one of the things that's going to happen, the Illuminati, behind the scenes, deep state, whatever you want to call them, they want to remove about 80% of the population of the earth as what they would say in the back room, useless eaters. We don't need them. They're not producing. They're not helping. Let's get rid of them. And this is not just, I think so. I actually encountered a CIA messenger in Perth when I was there in Australia. And it was in a small room that we were meeting in at University of West Australia. Another friend of ours had the room. And this courier had a briefcase, handcuffed to his wrist, just like in the movies. But what he had in it, he says, it's terrible. It's something that I'm taking to the White House as soon as I leave here. And I've just come from the Middle East and looking at the food situation in various countries there and the crops. And he said, I wish I could share that with you, but I can't. And we're having a few beers, and he appears after a few beers to fall asleep. And his briefcase was open on his wrist. A piece of paper was sticking out just a bit. And so I looked to my friend who had organized the meet there. I said, what do you think? Should we, pull the paper out and photocopy it? He said, well, I guess so. And so very carefully we pulled it out. And I'm sure the agent was just, faking the sleep because he didn't want to be accused of just passing it on. We brought out the paper, and it was showing a report on which countries and how much grain loans to withhold to kill 100 million people the next season. And he had, before he got too drunk and went over to sleep, he had tears in his eyes saying, I've got to deliver this report to the president. And he said, I don't want to. I don't want this to happen. I don't know these people, but they're going to starve to death. And this was a method of control back in, that was about 1986, 87, somewhere when that happened. And now we're at the point where it can be done just openly with weather control. They were afraid that the United States might be blamed directly in the world opinion if it was just U.S. grain loans that were withheld. But this is a plan. Remove by viruses, disease, and by food shortages and water shortages, 80% of the population. Now, in advance of that, of course, the Illuminists, you know, the deep state, they've got their dumb, you know, underground bases and survival centers all over the world, and some probably under the ocean. They've stocked it with food, resources, and everything. They're going to be okay. And they've stocked, seed banks in the coal countries so that we can regrow plants that we need after we come through what is coming. Now, it's not them just being greedy. It's them trying to preserve the human race. And they see the problems happening with the sun. The sun is a major driver in all this. And, you know, from the start of their knowledge in this 1958, they realized if we come out and say to the population of Earth, we can't defeat the sun. It's going to clobber us. It's going to kill, you know, throw us into a dark age all of a sudden. Wars would break out for, you know, grabbing resources. Chaos, you know, anarchy would break out locally, trying to get what you can and put it in your cell or whatever to survive what's coming. So they knew that they couldn't just broadcast that to the world officially. They might leak it out through unofficial sources that they could control, like, you know, Stan and Doug and other people that might leak this stuff out. And should any of these resources tell the people enough to make them scared and be reacting, then you just cancel that that leak and say, oh, it's just a nut, you know, don't believe it, blah, blah, blah. So it's a controlled release of information to those who would hear and react properly. And this is what you would have done and I would have done, I'm pretty sure, is to try to hold these civilizations together while we prepare to rebuild after everything collapses around us. And it's real. I mean, I saw the document. I think it was Nixon that it was being taken to at the time, as I recall. But it's not conjecture.
You know, I think you might be about 10 years too late on that. Maybe Reagan, as opposed to Nixon, or not. I think.
Well, who was president in 19... 70, 80, 19, about 1980 to 82 in there. Who was that?
So that would be Ronald Reagan.
Oh, okay. Well, then it's Reagan they were taking it to.
Well, Carter up through January of 81, January 20th, and then Reagan from Reagan after that. But
what was Nixon in? Tell me, when was the end of Nixon?
Nixon was 68 through his resignation, second term in 1974. So, yeah.
Yeah, I could have been right at the end of that, 74, 75. I'm just trying to remember where I was there in Perth. But yeah, anyway, one of the presidents there was in power at the time.
Wow.
And things change. I mean,
So that is, if I'm hearing you correctly, that's but I don't well, I guess I don't see much altruistic aspects of that. To me, I mean, saving a certain sect of the population to weather, you know, to survive while letting others die. You know, who makes that decision? I mean, I kind of understand, sort of, kind of, not, you know, but hey, we'll stow away seeds, we'll stow away plants, we'll stow away people. But who selects who gets to live and who gets to die? That to me, that's not addressing the root cause. That's covering their asses and saving their asses, as opposed to trying to save humanity.
They, I'm sure, have analyzed a number of factors, like what we need in science and agriculture and social order and law and order, military, transportation, all these kind of things. And you need people to build and maintain these things. So I'm sure they've selected mainly on that, but you can be resting assured that the families of the the deep state will have, a guaranteed seat somewhere in a safe zone. That just goes with the territory. If I were doing it, I would have, my family put to safety and whatever, but I would have chosen things that would help us to rebuild the fifth world after four extinction events have happened, and the fifth world will be what's coming. Now, the Hopi, carry legends, from the last world and what is coming in this one. There have been so many pointers that said we had civilizations come and, rise and fall and on the surface of the earth. And the great flood of Noah didn't kill everybody. There's been a mistranslation problem in the Hebrew on that, but there were fragments of population all over the planet that survived. Otherwise, why would you have the giants in the in Israel, Goliath and his brothers were there, and Og, the king of Bashan, they came through the flood, and so it's a translation error in the word Haaretz. But anyway, most of the planet was clobbered, and the surviving projects or settlements were like, in South America and China and just small groups of people and rebuilding, after the great flood. And it was a terrific impact that caused the flood and broke up the continents and Pangaea into the continents we have today. A terrible destruction. And according to the Bible, we won't be destroyed again by flood, but by fire. At the end of the thousand-year reign, the earth and the heavens will all melt down in this fiery heat and, be gone and then be replaced by a new heaven and new earth eventually. And I'm aware of that from the model of the physics of the universe. It's a fluid model where everything is dependent upon spin. All gravity, atomic, nuclear, galactic, whatever, has to be based on a spin around a center. When that spin starts to unwind and everybody's unwinding, it's going to release infrared radiation all over the place. As everything, it's like a top on the street. You spin the top, and as it dies, it goes grind, grind, grind down into the tarmac, and there's heat from the friction of it winding down. And that will leave then a very still sea of energy that will be re-energized by God, to a new heaven and a new earth when the time comes. I'm pretty sure that's the way it will work. Now, knowing that, we are approaching a time here where a lot of the planet's population is going to be killed, disease, war, whatever. We're going to go to the Armageddon battle in northern Israel. And that'll be the end of the conflict. Jesus and his forces will come and destroy Satan's forces and lock him up for 1,000 years. So in that time, we're going to rebuild the planet. And so that's the good news in that we'll be able to set systems correct in this planet, the proper use of the resources and things like that. And it will give hundreds of thousands, millions of people, souls that will be born into the world then, a chance to choose for God or not, choose for Satan or for God. And I think that astronomically what we're going to see in our telescope is going to be quite interesting toward the end of that 1,000 years, because as the universe is winding down, we're going to be seeing all kinds of nova and supernova flashes out there in space. Things will rapidly start to die, and relatively speaking, in astronomical terms. And it will be a rather interesting thing to watch that for people that didn't understand how everything worked. Fascinating.
Wow.
Anyway.
Wow. Interesting. When you study scripture and you compare current events with scripture, I mean, I used to say if you take a newspaper and a Bible, you can match up events, with scripture, and wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Just look at the situation now. We have that situation with Iran. Iran is a real fly in the ointment, because the whole world is hinging on what happens between Iran and Israel. Those are the two players to watch. Damascus is where Iran stores a lot of its missiles, and at least 10 sites that we've been able to detect around Damascus and in the hills there, where they store these long-range missiles, relatively long-range, to hit Israel. They can hit all of Israel with these missiles. And if one or two of them are nuclear and the others are dummies, you won't know which one to bring down with Iron Dome. And so if Iran succeeds in getting a nuclear payload over into Syria, we're in trouble. Everybody's in trouble. And so Netanyahu is faced with an incredible decision to make. He has got to not only destroy the nuclear enrichment plants that he can find in Iran and in Syria for the Iranians, he's got to find the nuclear missiles that are armed and destroy them. Now, he's done a good job at this point with the idea of getting other allied forces getting in and destroying these enrichment areas to limit their ability in Iran to get to the nuclear power. I don't mind them having a nuclear power structure for electricity and stuff. It's a very efficient and cost-efficient way to have energy in your country. But they won't allow us to put people in place there in Iran as an observer group to say, we're watching you so that you don't go toward making a military use, a weapon out of the nuclear power. I can see the fairness of letting them do it, but they won't agree to that, and we can't trust them anyway. They're run by mullahs that are dedicated to destroying not only Israel, but the United States, stated openly, championed by the what they call the Quds Force, the Jerusalem Force, which General Qasem Soleimani formed. They use him as the hero, and to honor him, I'm sure they're going to make their attack on Israel, fairly certainly, or try to. And this, I think, may explain why Damascus disappears overnight in a ruinous heap, melted down. Somebody nukes them. And if somebody doesn't nuke them, it may be an act of God, because that area has several places where there are what they call ruinous heaps that used to be dwellings or little small cities that were destroyed by low-yield volcanic eruptions in that area in Syria there. So either by an act of God or by an act of Israel, Damascus goes. So the world doesn't really care. Damascus goes, chaos ensues, Israel's guilty, America's guilty, and we're about ready to have global warfare. This demands a cessation of these things and a peace treaty with all the nations of the world, all centered on Israel and the Abraham Accords. Do you see all the pieces coming together?
Yeah, I do. And that would also, to me, be one very plausible reason why we have had this four-year invasion into our country of unvetted people. Victor Davis Hanson asked that question. We know who allowed these invaders in. But the question is why? Well, when you consider having a fighting force already in this country, far beyond the, let's put them in areas where they can change the demographic for voting purposes and representation purposes. To me, that explains it. So when you throw all of this together, I think it makes more sense. And as you describe that, through the eyes and through scripture, here we are. I mean, here we are. So, and again, fear not, because God is in control. But boy, all of the elements seem to be in place, including Iran.
Yeah. So, wow. Now, this trip that President Trump just had over in the Middle East, he went to Saudi Arabia first, then to Qatar, and then over to the UAE. Now, the UAE, United Arab Emirates, has, I think it's seven emirates or, sheikdoms that are all gathered together like the United States, but it's, the United Arab Emirates there. They are very wealthy, and their leader that they've elected just a few years ago is Mohammed bin Zayed. And the leader of Saudi Arabia, where Trump first stopped, was, or is, Mohammed bin Salman. And the between the two of them, they have immense wealth. Now, Mohammed bin Salman and Mohammed bin Zayed have realized that their oil reserves are eventually going to play out. Now, Saudi Arabia's oil reserves, as they've stated over the last probably 10 years, are overstated. They're running out of oil. So they're shifting their economy to, tourism, into making equipment, electronics, into running blockchain AI computer systems, investments in foreign economies and stocks. And UAE has done the same thing. In fact, UAE is the leader of artificial intelligence development in the world, as far as I'm concerned. They have several projects that are really ripper about artificial intelligence. Now, when you look at the Bible saying, okay, we're going to have an Antichrist and we're going to have a world government, and that world government is going to have a world religion, and they're going to behead people for not, conforming to that religion. Saudi Arabia is a leader in beheading people who are not following Islam the way they want it, or step against the law, Sharia law. So we know that that's probably going to be a world government formed around the Middle East, which will be the monetary center. Now, with Saudi Arabia, they are behind, with Jared Kushner, President Trump's son-in-law, the Abraham Accords. And Jared Kushner made an announcement last year, a video which I watched, how they're planning to get the Arab nations, about 40 of them, to come together into this peace treaty with Israel by business plans. They've already been doing it, some of the early signatories, saying, look, what do you need in your country? We'll figure out how to get it for you in this business plan, and we will instrument it to get you what you want if you join the Abraham Accords. And that way they can control all these nations and give them a profitable business plan, which includes rebuilding Gaza, making it, a seaside resort or whatever. I forget what Donald Trump called it, but, that's basically they're going to rebuild that. And Jared Kushner said they're going to do that. As soon as they stop the fighting officially, Israel steps back and the investors go in, clear all the debris out, just scrape the ground and rebuild Gaza. That's the plan. They talked about it last year, and that's where we're heading now. A lot of these things we're seeing as though they're, current events have already been laid out as a framework internationally by the deep state, a couple of years ago. This is kind of catching up to where they wanted us to be. It's an interesting thing. It's frightening in a lot of respects. And that AI, we need it for industry. We need it for safety, for protection of the planet, and all that kind of stuff, and for crop maximization, for weather control. But AI, when you turn it loose on a global basis to the economy, becomes the beast. It's going to have control of every living thing and of every asset listed in the blockchains. It will run the entire planet, and that will be the beast of the revelation.
Let that sink in, folks. Brilliant.
And look at fake videos, that can be made on people. Yep. When you have that kind of crunch with a quantum computer or two or three of them, you can then create an image that looks real in video of a leader of the world, and maybe that leader is an image of the beast, if you see what I'm saying.
I do.
These are just things that are happening so rapidly, and people are so ill-informed about, what the game plan is, how it's been laid out, but the pieces in the puzzle, the assets. I wish I could tell more people, but unfortunately, I guess it's not meant to be.
It's interesting how proportional, when we talk about things like this of extreme substance, instead of talking about, when did the, I don't want to say meaningless things, but less meaningful things. But when you start talking about this, how we are, collectively and individually censored, the information doesn't get out. We can see this in real time. So we know, I think, like you're talking, we know you're hitting that right spot but how many people are really receiving the message? And those who are listening, how many people really understand the gravity of what you're saying? Yeah, I don't know.
Everyday life is consuming a lot of what they think about, you know, survival, entertainment. Yeah. Part of the solution that the deep state has in the back room is using carbon nanotube structures to build food replicators like in Star Trek. MIT has a whole project doing that now to solve, you know, the food problem. Just create anything from food to objects from a 3D model that is then constructed from a mesh, I think it is, of a nanotube CNT membranes. This is the beginning of solutions that will be Star Trek-y and very impressive. And if they go through with this fake alien invasion, that kind of technology is shared with the world, people will be really impressed. Star Trek has already laid the groundwork for super technology.
Yeah, that makes me think back to the drones, and also that odd situation with Levensburger with respect to the display on January 1st, where the Tesla Cybertruck, and then the email that preceded that message, I suppose, talking about the drones, talking about the gravitic propulsion systems. And if I recall correctly, that email sent by Levensburger, the man supposedly who died in that Tesla truck at Trump Tower in Vegas on the 1st of January, he was referencing World War III gravitic propulsion technology, kind of what you're alluding to or discussing or referencing here. That just made me think of that and the technology and how quickly we have forgotten about, this drone display on the East Coast and really throughout the U.S. But
I've been working with a fighter pilot who designs jet engines now, ex-fighter pilot over in California. And our team has been studying this drone issue closely, trying to figure out counter to drone attacks in the field, for our Marines on the ground, Army on the ground, or for special operators going in country. These detecting systems in these drones are almost impossible to beat. We haven't figured out a way. I mean, they're using fiber optic cables, wire that runs 20 miles behind the actual drone, 20 miles away. Light in an optical fiber rather than electrons, which you can block RF transmissions and things, can't do it. They can block geopositioning and that kind of things, but with these fiber optics you can't. And when you see one drone as opposed to 1,000 drones coming at you, which one's going to get you guys in the field? They can hear you, they can see you in infrared and in ultraviolet and invisible light. They can detect any communications that you've got, electronic stuff, pick it up. So how do you shield against that? I mean, these drones are a nuisance unless you put robots in the field, then they will be blown up. This drone technology is really a problem.
Wow.
It's the biggest problem facing our troops at the moment, I think.
I think you're right. My goodness. We could talk about this subject alone for numerous programs, but we only have about a minute and a few seconds left. Stan Dale from standale.com. Folks, support Stan. Make sure, if you haven't already done so, make sure you get a copy of Dare to Prepare, Cosmic Conspiracy